bro.
Into something.
You know what we? You know what we just watched that related to this exactly the same, in my opinion. We just watched your Lie in April, right? And then, and then we watched this. They're both about musicians or like artists, right? Trying to figure out how to either get back into it or pour your heart soul into something. And I'll tell you what, Vivi did a way better job.
Better job. Way better job.
The Mr. Crybaby, okay? Of Anime Fix, your fix for all things anime. I'm Chase.
And I'm Lance.
Ahoy, Lance.
Ahoy, sir. How are you?
Or should I say daddy?
Don't do that. Not here. No.
Not here. We'll keep it between us. That's fun. Oh, it's been good. It's been good. You have a
enjoy
your holiday.
I did.
Good.
Very much so.
Good. Same here. Anything cool?
Got a walk.
A walk?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Actually, I got a it was a very Asian themed Christmas for me.
Really?
Yeah, I got two books. One specific to Japanese cuisine. The other is more broadly Asian cuisine, so like Thai food, Chinese food, Japanese food. Like cook it at home. Mm-hmm. A wok. I got a sushi maker.
A sushi maker?
Or a sushi kit, basically a kit that you can use to make all your own. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And what else did I get?
Is it like the wood thing that you like roll?
Think so. I haven't opened it yet. And I got the cooking chopsticks. I got specifically like some spices to cook with. Ooh. And
Is Tori just like trying to make you like cook more? Is that what she's trying to make you do?
Oh no, this is not just from Tori. This is from...
Are you an avid cooker? Like, do you cook a lot?
So I've been wanting to cook more before, for a couple of reasons. Space. I never had really the space.
Yeah.
Cook. I also never really had the time, and it just was not something that I cared to prioritize, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with no space, like the fact that we had no space, I had no space, it was just always like, I was bumping into stuff, things would fall over, and I was like, this is not worth it, this is not worth the time and the stress, so I would just, for real basic and simple. But now, since I have a ginormous kitchen, and you know, ideally I have more time, because I have set hours I never stick to, but but now that I have more time and space, I've been wanting to cook more. I actually made amu rice.
Yeah, with the egg on top of rice, and like you cut it down the middle.
It's not just egg on top. It's like it's a rice log that you wrap inside of an omelet.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Basically, you make fried rice.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain like sauces and ingredients you put in to like for flavor and everything, but the fundamentals are fried rice. You form it into a log. shape. Mm-hmm. You make an omelet, and then you wrap the omelet around. The idea is you're supposed to fully wrap around rice log.
The way I see it all the time is like they like make the omelet, right, and they put it on top of the rice, and they take a knife and slit it, and
then it that's holds. Probably so the thing that's the reason why you're probably seeing it that way. Is because it's very difficult to actually wrap it in the omelet. The closest I got was I was able to get. I got the tops and I got the sides, mm-hmm. but I couldn't get it to. Without messing it up without making it fall apart, I could not get it to get underneath. But if you like. I'll send you like a picture of what I'm talking about.
Did you make it? Like, is the picture that you made?
No, this is not the picture. I didn't take a picture because I was like this. Didn't look how I wanted it to look.
Oh.
Still. But it was pretty close, and Tori said it tasted like.
It was good.
Really good. Yeah, and she also is not one to mince words with food.
Really.
So. If it was bad, she would have told me. So, like, yeah, here's a good example. Let me share this with you.
So, what I'm sending you now is what I think of when you say omelet rice.
You sent me a TikTok?
Oh, well, yeah. It's a process of making and then, like, doing the cut, like I was talking about. You've seen that, those videos, right?
TikTok?
Yeah, where they do the cut and stuff.
Oh. First time I heard of omelet rice was from the cookbook.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. The second one's a faster one to show you. So if you're going to watch the second one, because it's faster. Do you put the like sauce on top of it, too?
I did put the sauce on top of it, yeah.
Nice. It looks super good, though.
It is.
It was really good.
What?
It was really good.
Ah, I thought so. Here we go.
Okay.
I sent you a screenshot.
Oh, put it in the Discord. I'm never going to find it. Let's see. Where's that? Not there. Where's that? Where is it at? Where is it at? There it is. Oh, you put it inside. Okay. Yeah. Oh. What I think of Ami Rice is what I just sent you.
Okay, that's definitely, that's different than.
Than what you made.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Look at the other one.
Huh. It's definitely different for sure. It looks good, though, so. Do you put other things in it besides rice, or?
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. That's way different than.
Than, what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you try it that way. I hear it's really hard to make it that way, though.
The way you sent me, or the way I sent you?
The one I sent you, because you gotta like keep stirring the egg or something and like you hold it right.
Yeah, that's it. And then sauce. So like when you said sauce, I was thinking because it said put like ketchup or sriracha.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you definitely put
Oh gotcha.
Yeah. So you definitely put. You're supposed to put ketchup in the fried rice that you mix it.
There you are.
At least in the cookbook, that's what the recipe said. I opted to, for on the egg, I opted to do, I don't think it said sriracha, I think it said ketchup again, and I opted to do sriracha. Yeah.
I'd rather do that. I like hot sauce. Bye.
Me too. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I made, and that was, it was definitely, it's definitely difficult.
Oh, I bet.
That looks way more difficult than even what I was trying to do, so.
I'll have to try it. I still got to get that cookbook that you sent me, so we can start doing that. But I think we're 10 minutes in, and what anime are we talking about?
We are talking about Vivi, or specifically, full. I can't see. I stopped saying the full name because
it was just the full name. Vivi's just easy.
Vivi Fluorite Eye Song. Vivi. Yeah.
I started watching it on. When did I start watching that?
A few days ago.
Yeah, I started watching it, I think, on Friday when you told me we were going to record on Saturday. And I was like, okay, I gotta bang through this. So I stayed up till like 4 a.m. watching it all. But I got hooked hard, man. I got hooked real hard into it.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is amazing.
This is I want to go ahead and say this here. And I already texted this to you, but I want to say it. Best since Psycho Pass.
In the genre or like overall?
In the genre.
Yes, I totally agree. In the genre. We've watched a bunch of other like cyberpunk theme like ones.
Yeah.
And like post-apocalypse possibly, and like, you know, other worlds, like artificial intelligence stuff, and by far best since Psycho Pass. I would even argue better than Psycho Pass.
You know, in some aspects, I think I would. It's definitely a coin toss for me, because Psycho Pass has a whole built-out universe now.
It does.
Versus this is a one-off season, and I try to see if there's anything else, and there's a manga.
Oh, there's manga.
There is manga, but I don't. It looks like it's season one. Like there's nothing beyond what we've already seen. So. Yeah, it's a coin toss for me, but there are definitely elements in the anime that I'm like, I was more excited than I ever was in a Psycho Pass episode. Like
this
was like the island episode.
The whole thing. Oh, the pilot.
the island episode.
Oh, the island episode.
The
like when they go to the island.
Like the whole the island episode. I was like hooked on that. The whole I was like, oh my god, what is she going to do?
You like the island episode the most? That's surprising. Which episode do you think I like the most?
No, I was saying that the island episode is an example of one where I was hooked through it. Not the best episode.
Oh, okay. I was hooked from the pilot.
Yeah. You were hooked. So, what was your favorite episode?
You know, what do you think it was?
Ooh.
You know me. What I like.
Was it... Give me a hint. Was it the first half or the latter half?
First half.
First half? I'm going to say your favorite episode was the... on the spaceship.
It was. I love space. I love space. Yeah. And then, to be honest with you, I liked all of the... Obviously, I love time travel, and I love, like, artificial intelligence, all that stuff, but time travel, like, was really cool, being able to send data back in time to your same AI person. That was super cool.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting take on that, because it's like, everything is backed up to the archive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like you're restoring a backup at a earlier... Yeah, anyway, it's a very interesting concept.
Yeah, that was super cool, and then... I enjoyed the journey a lot more than I enjoyed the ending part of it. I wish they had more, either another season or whatever, or more like in betweens, because it's a 100-year span that they're trying to do the singularity project, right? So I wish like we could see more of Vivi through that 100 years, or more of like missions or stuff like that. Would be cool.
Or Matsumoto.
Yeah, Matsumoto. Yeah, see more Matsumoto.
Loved side character. Best side character. Like I thought he was fantastic. I wish he would stay in the bear too, or at least until they get to present day. Then he becomes the cube.
Right? Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, best side character. So let's break it down. So, The story behind it is that in the future there is a catastrophic, almost really one-sided battle between between AI and humans, and a human scientist sends back a super AI that he built 100 years in the past, partner with at that point in time, an outdated AI named Vivi, or actually named Diva.
Yeah, but for her time, she was like super advanced. She was the first autonomous AI.
Sent back to partner with her to interfere with certain predicted singularity points, moments in time that tip the scale towards AIs becoming Malent.
Yep, Malent, yep.
And the anime is the 100-year journey
of trying to prevent that future. Yep. Which this is jumping forward a little bit, but like I was like, so how is that data sent back if that future never happened, right? And it did a perfect way of explaining like how it was still sent back, which was super
cool. Yeah. I really liked how the archive, like the super AI that stores everything, was kind of like the whole time was observing and changing things. Try it. Okay, you did this. It was like a massive chess game. Like, okay, you did this, so I'm going to do this.
Yep.
Undo everything, or it gets close to undoing everything that you did.
Yep. Yep. Because, cool. Instead of like making that the turnoff point, the archive just made a different turnoff point, which is super cool.
What did you think about Vivi's sort of existential crisis throughout the whole thing? What does it mean to pour your heart,
bro, into something? You know what we just watched that related to this exactly the same, in my opinion. We just watched your Lie in April, right? And then we watched this. They're both about musicians or like artists, right? Trying to figure out how to either get back into it or pour your heart soul into something. And I'll tell you what, Vivi did a way better job.
Better job. Job.
Than Mr. Crybaby. Okay. but like that was so much better done in Vivi than it was in Your Lie in April, and that's probably because she's not human, but she figures out humanity and what it means to pull your heart into something. But like this show, Vivi, Fluorite's Eye Song, is about an AI that saves the world through her singing, right? And like she has to figure out what it
means. One mission.
How much does she sing? Not at all.
Not much. Yeah.
Not much at all, right? And like when she's singing at the last part of it, it's so much more impactful than when that dude is playing the piano 17,000 times and hits the wrong notes and looks like he's drowning, because there's not as much exposition. It's told by the stories going up to it, not being told like this is why it's happening. That's just why I think this is a perfect example of what's the best way to do this. Instead of Your Lie in April.
No. I 100% agree. This was super well done. I
just shitting on Your Lie in April. That's what I'm doing.
That's okay. You're allowed to. I also kind of a spinoff of that is what I really enjoyed about it is her going through that because you're thinking to yourself, they're like, so you're an AI. Why are you struggling with this concept of how to pour your heart into something, right? Like, what is a heart to you? And it's other machines around her sort of disregard that.
Yeah.
But what's funny to me is that her going through that is probably the most human thing. There are AIs way more advanced than her, but like, her struggling with that. Yeah, like Matsumoto. But that struggle with what does it mean to do this for me, for other people, is so much more in tune with what it means to be human than anything. Is the inherent struggle with like identity, purpose, meaning, if there is meaning, you know, like, to each their own on that. But I love that. I love that this sort of archaic robot was experiencing more advanced understanding of humanity than the more advanced versions of herself. And in the end, the archive said that is like, she was the first AI to create something.
Yep, by herself. Yeah. And what's crazy is like the correlation between, once again, Your Lie in April and Vivi. She sung it so well the first time, but she was just technical about it and singing it perfectly, but didn't pour her heart into it. Just like Crybaby Boy. I don't know his name. Tatsu, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
But like, that goes into another correlation with like her alter ego Diva, right? When she lost her memories. Diva was so bubbly and like energetic and like sing-songy and all that stuff like that, but she was less human than Vivi was, which was crazy.
Yeah,
crazy correlation.
I loved how also it was like a split identity within inside her. Like Vivi was the primary, and Diva was more of just an aspect of Vivi's personality. And in that scene where there's the door and her personal archive,
yeah,
and then behind the door was the alternate kind of just sitting there waiting. I really love that
sort of visualization for you on that, because like what causes that is the island scene, the one that hooked you or like that you liked a lot, right? Which was a shocking twist for an episode. For all that stuff in one episode was amazing, in my opinion. Like there was, like, you get to meet the scientist, right, of the singularity point for that, and you get to meet Grace. But it's not Grace, right? It's a clone of Grace, or like another AI that looks like Grace, because they had to take actual Grace, and she runs the island. But she's not Grace anymore, because they had to override everything. So he obviously is like, there's no saving Grace anymore, because that's not Grace anymore.
Yeah.
Because they had the first AI-human marriage. And then because of what Vivi's done, they have to take Grace. Because the island is made 20... The island where it's completely autonomous, and AI is run, and they get parts and stuff for all artificial intelligence robots, right? But they go right there, and then at the end of the episode, you see that he's standing where they got married, right, into the that church and everything, and Vivi's standing there with her one hand that is completely engulfed with Grace's blood, obviously, because she had to destroy Grace, and then she turns around, and you just hear a gunshot, and then Vivi turns around and sees that the husband or the scientist took his own life. And then that causes a mental break in Vivi, because she doesn't understand why he would do that, right? So that hole on the side of her face, was that caused by that gunshot?
I believe so, yeah. The bullet went through.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. But then she got down and like you see both her
face's blood. Yep.
Oh my goodness. Like that was like amazing, like why, like I don't understand why he would do it, which obviously later she finds out in another episode of an AI that took her own life, which we find out, you know, it's not the case. So
it's amazing. Yeah, I one part that did confuse me was, because you watched it sooner, maybe Antonio's motivation. Yeah. That I was having trouble following what his motivation was. I did some reading after the fact, and his whole purpose was to support partner Ophelia's singing. And so he took over her body to help her with that, and then comes to find out that he really only wanted her singing for himself.
Himself, yeah.
But because he took over her body, he couldn't enjoy that anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why he had to go kill himself.
He wanted to end it. Yeah. That makes sense.
Is that what you took from that, or did I?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm making sure.
Yeah, at the end, because he says, like, I only wanted you to sing for me, which is, like, it also goes against his one goal, I think, too.
Yeah.
Because to help with the singing, but with her singing, but it was only really for him, which I think goes against his one. Because in this anime, or this manga, right, this piece of amazing art, which it is they find out... They find out that AI, in this world anyways, they can't function on one AI doing multiple tasks. It has to have one clear goal in mind for it to function correctly. So every AI is created with one goal, which I find kind of weird that the one AI that is the first autonomous AI completely is devoted to singing. I don't know why. Who chose that?
Well, I think... completely just, you know, speculating on this. I would imagine it's because art is the... So, if you take all of what... I mean, we're seeing a lot with, like, AI art, you know, and stories that are completely written by AI, like, no... You know, maybe you give it a prompt, and then it composes, like, whole... stories and or articles or just basically opinions. Give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
You're good. Silence is deafening. I am pretty tired, everyone that's listening, for this little intermission. We're back, okay. I think.
We're seeing a lot with that. But in the concept of the show, art is a very human thing. A lot of what people can do, mm-hmm. a lot, I wouldn't say most of it, but a lot of what people, at least now, could be done by machines. There's a lot of repetition, even with what I do in like the technical and the technology space. Mm-hmm. A lot of that heavy lifting can be done by machines. There is still, like I said, there's still components of it where you need like a human element, like for context and how to refine. But a lot of the heavy lifting, and I've used some of the public AIs available to like test this, and I'm like, oh wow, this is definitely cut down my workload by a lot, because it, instead of me having to go through multiple samples of how to do something, I can just ask this machine and it gives me, and I look at it, I go, okay, and I review, I say, this makes sense. This makes sense as why this is a more efficient way to do this. But beyond that, a lot of what people can do, a lot of it can be done by machines, right? But art, creativity, is a very human thing.
Yeah.
And even with, like, the AI art and AI stories that are written, right? That is... still is removed, even though it's producing stuff, it's still removed from the inherent creativity, because that comes from, like, a sense of, like, a feeling and identity and emotion and stuff like that.
Yep.
So all that to say is, I think the reason why her mission was singing... because as the first autonomous robot, that was probably the best way to merge what she was into being accepted by humans, because she was producing something
to
be inferred in a creative, emotional way.
Yeah, totally agree. If you think about it, like even the AIs right now that create art or create essays and stuff like that, you have to give it a prompt. It can't just create something overall. And most time it's copying. It's copying like a picture you give it. It's copying like a prompt you give it, stuff like that, right? Where Vivi is creating it out of her own memories. So like, I think like then that there was a saying at the end of it, at the last episode, where Vivi's talking about what seeing something with your own heart or saying something like with that like means. And I think it's like your accumulation of memories. that she has over 100 years, this reason that she was able to create her own piece of art, her own, you know, song.
Yeah, her experiences.
Because your experiences and your memories make you human, I think.
Yeah.
Both loss totally agree with that. And happiness. Because she went through a lot of loss.
Yeah, for sure. And she saw a lot of people, or a lot of machines, sacrifice themselves for, you know, probably she's like, you didn't have to do this, but she's like, I'm the only one that can do this, right? Like, yeah. The space episode. Yep. When those two sisters finally unite and work together, that, I thought that was beautiful. What did you think about the one little anti-hero? I guess he became an anti-hero, but the one human part of the anti-AI group
of Toke.
Yeah, of Toke.
Yeah.
How he became. He became what he hated most was a machine.
I know, and he transformed his consciousness or whatever into a machine, or just transformed his body into a machine, because like obviously he looked way younger, and I was like, there's no way that's him. He's got to be super old.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, between all of that stuff, like of him like trying to like destroy AIs and stuff like that, He either got married or knocked some girl up, because the granddaughter of the whole Toke Corporation was the leader of it, which I found was hilarious. Yeah. But yeah, from the very first episode where he was there and Vivi saved him, was like, okay, he's gonna be an important character.
Yeah, that's the thing is his death was supposed to happen. That was one of the things that was constantly throwing the whole thing into
was it supposed to happen? it wasn't gonna happen, right? Because he was still gonna crash. Oh, his death on the space station was supposed to happen. Yes.
Yeah, his death on the space station was supposed to happen. His death at the first
singularity. The first thing wasn't supposed to happen, right? Because they were gonna leave the building after they collapsed it, right?
Because
they weren't going to be in the building when they collapsed. It was just going to be the body that was left in
there. You're right.
Which was that dude. But that one makes sense, yeah. Because when his team goes to the space station, they were going to stay on the space station.
Yeah, yep. I somehow thought that he was supposed to die in each one of those singularity points, but you're right. I
mean, maybe, because maybe Elizabeth was going to save him, just like she did in the real timeline. So maybe he was still going to survive.
But his story arc and how he just sort of switched, and I'm wondering, and it wasn't clear to me, maybe it was clear to you, why did he switch from being like so anti-AI to being like,
I think it was because first Vivi saved him, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Elizabeth saved him. And he spent 7 years with Elizabeth and like getting to know her and understanding like not all AIs are bad. And then Vivi saved him another time, right? And like he was just getting so obsessed with Vivi and because it was D.Va at that point when they were fighting, and when he was watching D.Va, right? He's like, we need Vivi back, because Vivi's the only one that can get other AI to be like Vivi or to be like understanding. Uh-huh. So I think like at that point is when he switched, because he wanted Vivi to come back, because I think he instilled in his daughter or granddaughter or whatever to be like AI and humans can actually coexist if AI can have a human heart or like understand humanity more.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when he switched. When he was obsessed with Vivi in that one episode.
That whole fight scene too was, I thought, the I loved it. I loved the little battle between them too.
As soon as she downloaded those combat AI things, it was game over.
The music too, I like, and that's all part of it. But like the music too, I just and that was really what like why, because I loved the whole thing. But reason why I got really into the island episode is because when when she's riding Matsumoto like a space motorcycle and just kind of like just, and he's like, if we go much faster, it'll be dangerous. And she's like, pick it. And just, like, tells him to, like, pick up the pace. And there's that all those other AIs chasing them. And she's just, like, battling them. Like, that kind of just got my heart pumping, you know.
Every time she runs, it gets my heart pumping. Because she's like, so balls to the wall fast. I'm like, oh, my gosh. To be honest with you, man, this is a 10 out of 10 anime. 100%.
Yeah. 100%, 10 out of 10. Yeah.
If you talk about this in every episode, I wouldn't care. 100%. Like, I give Psycho Pass like an 8, 8.5 out of 10. But, like, you could talk about this every single podcast and I'd be
with you. I'm going to look right now. Is there going to be a season? I know there won't be, but is there going to be a season?
Last year. So, like, it's still pretty early. I mean, Hunter x Hunter was on a hiatus for 10, 15 years, so, and it came back.
Play why the anime won't get a second season. I don't think that we could add another core story, even if the first was a smash hit and got rave reviews. Well, screw you, writers of Vivi.
What's crazy is, like, I'm surprised it didn't get more publicity or, like, more, like, reviews, because, like, I didn't know about this at all. It's not, like, a mainstream anime.
The only reason I found it is because when I was looking for a new show to watch, I just typed in keywords of things that I loved, and then I just started. Okay, I started going one by one. Up, not that one. Maybe I'll give that one a chance. Nope, skipping that one. I just kept going, and it was down the list. It wasn't even like a first one that came up. It was like 15 on the list.
I might have to recommend this as like one of my favorite animes, because it is one of my favorite animes. But like, is it better than Dragon Ball? I don't know. I don't know, man. It's pretty close.
Really?
It's so good. It really is. It has everything I love about it. And I can't be called a bandwagoner if I, like, praise it. In case, like, I praise the high heavens, right? I can't be like, oh, you just like Dragon Ball because it's popular. No, I've watched it since I was a child.
Yeah.
He's like, what, Vivi? What's that? It's like, yeah, get on my level. You don't know anime. You can be like that now, too.
I know. Yeah, phenomenal story. Now here's a question I have for you. What's your opinion? I imagine you probably, and anyone who listens probably knows me, but what's your opinion? AI, humans coexist. Are AI subservient? Should AIs not exist at all? What's your stance on that?
I think it's gonna play out exactly how it shows in Vivi. I think it's gonna play out like we create AI to do menial tasks or like to do one task or whatever thing. To make our lives easier, and eventually I think it's going to come to a point where like we have to start recognizing or realizing that AIs are going to start thinking for themselves, and like, do they have rights? And it's going to be a big political issue.
I'm definitely on like a coexist view.
Right off the bat though, or like for like servants for a while,
right off the bat, I think.
Off the bat,
yeah,
we'll use them for a little bit, you know.
Absolutely not. Right. No, I mean, I think you're right. It's going to play out that way, but I would be I was kind of disappointed that sort of like that senator, that sort of like representative at the beginning. I thought he was going to play a bigger part. Turns out he was just a peon. But that whole like AI initiative, and I was like thinking like, that's me. That's me right there. That guy there who's like...
I hope it's not you, because he did not turn out to be that guy.
No, like, no. No, I know. Yeah, like I said, he turned out to be not what I thought, but...
Yeah.
I definitely would be on the side of, like, coexisting. Like, I don't think, like, the AI quote that we have now isn't really true AI. It's more just very...
Like your Googles and your Alexas.
Yeah, those aren't AI. Those aren't, like... First off, AI is sort of like an umbrella term for a lot of different aspects of computing related to machines being able to simulate or recreate human thinking, right? That may not be like the best definition, but but that's what it is. AI is like an umbrella term for a lot of different aspects of like computer science related to machine. Human machine simulation, and what we have right now is not what when people think AI, you think of Vivi, right? Or you think of HAL 9000, or you think of Terminator or whatever, or you think of oh, what's his name or Jarvis, right? You think of Jarvis, right? There.
Yeah, you don't think of Google Assistant.
I don't think of Google Assistant, yeah. Right? And so Google Assistant is not true AI in that sense. It's more just algorithmic, using keywords, and it like synthesizes information in a way. Now that's still an advancement, right? Because you being able to take a few inputs, synthesize a bunch of information, and then spit it out in a readable, understandable way. That's still cool, but that's not the machine consciously thinking, you know, about that. That's just algorithms working in the background, right? Very intelligent.
I mean, isn't
that
the same way with like
AI? See,
like,
so
AI is just algorithms
but,
in the background.
But the whole thing we talked about is what it means to be human is the aggregation of your experiences into memories and your response. There's no memories here, right? Now, actually.
It's learned data, isn't it? What are cookies, Lance? What are cookies? It's learned data. It's stored data. What's RAM? Everything, Lance. It's all around us.
But I think eventually we'll get there. I think.
Yeah. Definitely get one of my favorites. I see there's volumes.
One of my favorite AI movies ever is Ex Machina.
Never seen it.
Oh.
Wait, is that the one where they're stuck in the house with the girl? That's a robot? Okay, I've seen it. Well, I've watched YouTube shorts on it, and I've pretty much watched the whole movie.
Oh, you need to sit down and actually watch it beginning to end.
Oscar
but
Isaac in it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. I don't know if I've done it with you, but other people, I'll send Oscar Isaac memes from that specific movie whenever. A lot of the stuff, like, he's a douchebag in the movie, but
yeah,
a lot of the stuff he says, like, there are acorns of lines. I'm like, I've said that.
Really?
And one of those acorns is when he was asked, like, why did he create Ava in the movie, is he didn't see it as a creation, more as an eventuality. Okay. It was going to happen, and he just got there first.
Huh.
And that was his, and that's sort of my belief around, like, AI, is that it's an eventuality.
Oh, yeah.
Part of our
100%.
I think, and here's so we're at a cusp point, right? We're at a crux, right?
Singularity.
We're a singularity. In my opinion, we could do AI the way we have it now, and I think where it's not consciousness yet. It's just like, I mean, I guess this is up to interpretation. Some people interpret, but it's not a consciousness, but it's just a clever algorithm doing work in the background. I think we're at a crux point or singularity point where we could, in my view, free a lot of people from the laborious jobs that they do now to do work on other more human creative things. Right, that's kind of like why I'm so pro AI is, I see it as sort of like freeing the chains on humanity, because we're right now we're a slave to labor, right? We sell our labor for currency, it's then used to spend back into the system, and it's just an endless cycle. And then we run out of that currency, then we have to sell more of our labor, right? And I see AI sort of breaking that cycle and freeing humans to focus on more creative ventures. And that's what we're good at. We're not very good. Look at you. You can barely show up on time. Right?
What do you mean? What do you mean show up
when
on
we
time?
Work together, when we work together, you would struggle to be on time all the time.
I also lived an hour away, okay? You live 10 minutes away. Even that. You live like a hop, skip, and a jump away.
And I still struggle to be on time, right?
Your backyard was our place of work. That's what it was, Lance. You could wake up 2 minutes before you're supposed to be at your shift, and you'd be there.
But my point is that we as humans, we're not, you know, we're not designed to be that way, right? We're not very good at it.
I will be devil's advocate in saying I agree with your point of like freeing up time, but all the politicians are going to say, or not all of them, but most politicians are going to say, what about the jobs that those are taking away from the American people? Okay.
Yeah, I know. I know. That's going to be thrown out there. And so but I think it would free people up. And I think there is some anxiety around that, but I think there's also an opportunity there to embrace, well, what, now that I have all this time, what can I work on that I really want to work on? And maybe I'll invent something. Maybe I'll create something better, or I'll create a whole, like, there's opportunity there. That's my view. And then, but if we move beyond that point, if we move beyond that point, we're like, this isn't enough. We actually need to, which we probably will, we need to actually create a full conscious autonomous being. Mm-hmm. Once we hit that point, I think the idea of using them as slaves, as you called it, for a while.
I said servants.
I think that goes, I think that,
yeah.
I think that the idea of freeing humanity from that will go away because,
yeah.
Because the only way that works is if we make them like servants, and if we make them servants, we are setting ourselves up for problems.
D-Day. Yeah, D-Day.
Yeah.
I don't know. So you said it was like a eventuality, which I first off agreed with you, but like, didn't they say, I don't know. I try to keep up with it, but like, I'm so removed from it right now. But then they say like recreating like the human brain is a feat, if not impossible, like for autonomous AI.
So,
because it's the most complex like thing in the world, right?
Right now, like, this isn't the shit on what we have right now. What we have right now is absolutely amazing and really cool technology that 10 years ago, right, would have been like, shit, that's a science fiction movie mumbo jumbo, right? Yeah. Like, we have some really cool stuff right now, but it. You are right in that it is to create a fully conscious being mimicking human intelligence is, I wouldn't say impossible. It would definitely be a feat of brilliance. The thing that I think why I don't think it's impossible is because there's a lot of work being done in quantum computing, which I don't fully understand enough to speak to it intelligently, less to say is way more processing power than what we are used to in our current scale of computing, right? Like being able to accomplish things that previously were thought impossible. So, like, throwing that into the mix, I would say that it changes the idea of machine consciousness from a impossible to a highly unlikely, but within the realm of possibility challenge.
Gotcha. That's curious.
In my opinion. Like, I can't speak, again, to the concepts of quantum computing, because I'm not familiar enough with it. Understand what I have read, I don't understand it enough yet. But yeah, I think it's an eventuality. I think. I mean, if you look, thing. So here's sort of like a I don't even know if it's an actual Bible quote, right? But here's a phrase I've heard thrown around. Is that God made us in His image, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in His image, in their image, because God doesn't have a sex. It is just a just a being. You're made in God's image, and I can think of nothing more godly than to create something. Nothing to create a consciousness.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I think that is like the sort of like the most godlike thing that you can do in their image is to create. And that, and I think that's what,
and all humans are gods. Like, because they have the potential to create a kid. This is philosophy now class.
Yeah, I know. Hey, give me 1 second. I'll be right back.
You're good. We're just going to sit with our thoughts and existential crisis. How's everyone doing today? Doing well? Have a good holiday? I don't know when this is going to come out, but probably come out later. Most likely after the holiday, because the holiday's actually over now. But going into the new year, though, appreciate everyone listening, too. We really appreciate that. Sorry we haven't been very consistent overall. New goal for the new year probably would be to obviously post more consistently. But yeah. Definitely going to get these light novel Vivi stuff. It says Vivi prototype. I don't know if this is like the same or different from the actual series. Series A, I called himself Matsumoto. Okay, yeah, it's just the same, it looks like. And as a collaborative concept novel. From the writers of RE0. I did not know that. That makes sense. Huh, okay. That's where the time travel comes in. Huh. That's cool. It is cool. Definitely gonna get those though. When's 4 come out? Scheduled for June 13th. Makes sense. It's probably already all out overall. Let's see. Lance is sure gone a long time. Where's he at? We're wasting precious, precious minutes in editing that I am trying to decide if I want to do or not. Oh, he's back. He's back. Don't worry. Don't worry. I think since he's back, I don't think I'm going to edit any of this.
What did you say?
I was like, that sure is taking a while, and I really don't want to edit all this, so we'll see how much editing I'm going to be doing.
That wasn't too long, was it?
No, it was only like 10 minutes.
Oh, was it really? That wasn't 10 minutes.
It wasn't 10 minutes. Oh, you're good.
Anything else you wanted? No. Yeah, we kind of went off on a tangent
I wanted to let you know that the same people that wrote and made Vivi is the same people that made RE0.
Really?
Which is the time travel stuff makes sense, because that's all I'm talking about is time travel.
Also, I felt like there was a similar art style, right?
Yeah.
To the character, so that makes sense. We should look up what else they've done and watch that. I think we've genuinely loved everything they've created.
Yeah. Totally agree. But overall, I would 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. I'd watch it again just to watch it again. Totally.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, yeah. Oh, is there volumes, you said?
Yeah, there's 2 volumes out right now. The third one comes out in, I don't know, early next year, and then volume 4 is slated for June.
Really? So
It follows.
They wrote. Oh yeah, yeah. So the light novel was based off the anime, not the anime based off the light novel.
Is it?
So
I don't know. I don't know if it was like written in Japanese and they're translating it right now.
Let's see. Manga adaption. No, I don't want to. There is Vivi manga. Oh, hey, probably Ari, we know this, but where do you think that guy from Toke, he got that advanced stuff from the future that took down Vivi? You think he got that from the archive?
Probably, because the archive probably is trying to stop Vivi. I don't know, though. It's a good question. Where'd he get the body from? I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see here. Manga, Vivi, okay. It is illustrated and serialized since April 10th, 2021. 16 chapters. Yeah, I think it's an adaptation of the anime itself. Very similar to how Psychopaths. It was Psychopaths was an original anime that became a manga. So, oh,
makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, anything else?
I think that's okay. It. What do you want to watch and review? Do you want to say it or not? Here's my vote right here. Let's stick with the artsy stuff.
Blue Period. I actually have that saved in my yeah.
I hope, like, and then this is me being selfish, but I hope, like, you're just as, like, enthralled with Blue Period as I am, because I have no idea why I'm so enthralled about it. It's just a dude painting, but man.
Is he a whiny dude painting, though? Because I don't know if I can get into it. If it's not a whiny dude.
He is not a whiny dude, but, like, it's, you just gotta watch it. It's chef's kiss. 10 out of 10.
Okay. I'll watch it. Let's do it.
Thank goodness. Alrighty. I guess we'll see everyone next time when we watch and review Blue Period.
Bye.